each and every one of you tonight. God has blessed us with a beautiful, beautiful day. I trust that you've had a good afternoon and appreciate that you're gathered together again and that we could again study from God's Word, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Again, appreciate especially those visiting with us. It's good to see each and every one of you, and I'm especially thankful to have my brother with us tonight. It's always good to see him and be able to spend some time with him. Appreciate the good work he's doing in preaching the gospel in Perry County. So appreciate him being here tonight. You know, encourage you to open up your Bibles and study along with us. Make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. Our text again for the lesson came from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Appreciate Ethan doing the good job he did in reading that scripture reading for us. We conclude our sermon series on the members of our body tonight by talking about the feet of men. And I want to say before I forget that several of the men that are going to participate in the sermon the last Sunday night of this month met together, and they're working hard on the outline, and I appreciate them very much and looking forward to hearing them present that lesson. They're going to have a good topic, good points they're picking out from it, and I'm sure that they're going to do just a superb job, as they always do. And I know that you are encouraged by the work that they do. So we're going to talk about tonight about the feet of men. It's kind of like some of the other members that we've talked about, like the heart of men or the mind of men, the eyes, the hands, the mouth, and so forth, or the hands, as we talked about this morning. The Bible has a lot to say about these members of our body. And that's no exception when we think about all that the Bible says about feet. When you take your concordance out and you look up the number of times that the word foot is found, or the word feet is found, then you come up with many, many points that you could include in a series or a sermon like this one as we talk about the feet of men. I want to share with you tonight six things that the Bible says about the feet of men, three from the Old Testament and three from the New Testament. The first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. A couple of them will be from Psalm 119. As we think about the feet of men, you have feet, I have feet. We need to make sure that we use our feet in a way that would be pleasing unto God. Psalm 119, and in verse 59, the psalmist declared, "I thought on my ways." Now watch this. "I turn my feet unto thy testimony." So the first point I want you to see is that our feet can be turned. Are you aware of the fact, I'm sure you are, that it's up to you to determine the direction that your feet are going to go in? You can't decide for me what direction that my feet are going to walk in. I've got to make the choice. I want you to think about that. It's very simple. When we think about Jesus being the head of the church, the head of the body, Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, and the body listens as the head directs, right? Well, your feet listen to how your mind directs them to walk and to what direction that they're going in. I think it's comical that sometimes our young people may say, "Well, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help that I was there." Well, they may not could have helped the circumstances and so forth. But a lot of young people need to understand that you can help where you're at, because it is up to you in what direction that you are going to turn your feet. Make sure, as the psalmist declared again in Psalm 119 and in verse 59, again he says, "I turn my feet unto thy testimonies." It's another way of talking about the Word of God. In fact, the 119th Psalm, almost, not every, but almost every verse in this chapter says something about the Word of God, whether he's talking about the commandments of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, on and on. And the psalmist is declaring that he has turned his feet unto God's testimonies. Have you done that? Have you given yourself to know what the Bible says? Look down at verse 97. See if you have the same disposition when it comes to the Word of God. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my testimony," or my meditation, "all the day." Can you say that? We've been blessed with a beautiful day of life that God has given to us. Can you say that it is your meditation all the day? Are we so busy about doing other things that we don't even give a second thought to where we are turning our feet? The psalmist again declared, I have turned my feet to thy testimonies. Can you relate to that? We may have went through some of these things when we talk about the members of our body. And we may say, you know what, I need to come up to the plate more. I need to improve. I need to do better. That's growing. We'll never grow if we don't first recognize where we're at. And so part of growing necessitates, demands us thinking about where we are and deciding we're going to do better. My feet have I turned unto thy testimonies. And the Bible over and over talks about the importance of studying the Word of God, living it, studying it, meditating upon it. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 beginning, when Paul talks about that Timothy from a child has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every or all good works. And so we need to understand the importance of having turned feet toward the testimonies of God. But also I want us to understand what is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 116, and then verse 8. A psalm of praise toward the Lord. He says, I love, verse 1, the Lord, because He's heard my voice and my supplications. And so it's one of the types of psalms is a psalm of praise. And then he says in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. We've talked about our eyes. Now watch this for point 2. And my feet from falling. Nowhere does the Bible teach that it is impossible for your feet to fall. Nowhere does the Bible talk and teach that when one obeys God, that it is impossible for him to fall from a right relationship with God. Once saved, always saved. The Bible nowhere teaches that. But the Bible does teach that God is able to keep us from falling. But the way that He's able to do that is so long as we walk right in His sight. And He'll keep me from falling. He'll keep me steadfast if I do what He says to do in order to be steadfast. Now, that doesn't mean that He works against my free will. That doesn't mean that He works against my volition and my ability to make a decision and choice. But He'll keep me in the paths of righteousness if I choose to stay in those paths. But if I want to depart from them, I want to jump off the narrow and get onto the broad, guess what? God will let me. So we need to understand that. God will keep our feet from falling so long as we do what He has said to do to keep from falling. He's delivered our feet. I think about what Peter stated in 2 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 2 rather, and in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how. There's a whole sermon you could do on the thought, the Lord knoweth how. I've done that for you. Things that God knows. And then we talked about some things God doesn't know. Not too long ago. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. There are some things that belong unto God's jurisdiction, not mine or yours. We've got to recognize that and keep those things in their proper place. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. When I think about God being able to and knowing how to keep the godly out of temptation, I can't help but think what Paul penned in 1 Corinthians 10:13. When he said there is no temptation, he just made the point, Peter did, that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Oh, sometimes we think that we're all alone. Sometimes we think that we're the only one that this ever happened to. But that's not the case. There's nothing that can come upon me that's not already happened to someone else. And chances are, when something happens to me, there's probably someone in our midst who is currently going through the same thing. Or has already gone through it and can help encourage you and get you through those times. Remember from the sermon this morning, we talked about heavy hands. We talked about Moses and Aaron and Hur and how they stayed in Moses' hands and they lifted up his hands so that Israel defeated the Amalekites. We need to rely on one of the greatest assets that we have, and that is those of like precious faith. People who have been there, done that, and care about us and want to see us through. But he says that these temptations are common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now the ways that God chooses to give to us so we can escape, that's again His jurisdiction, but we've got to look for them. And it might be through the encouragement of someone who's been there, done that, can give us advice and help us. We're rest assured that God is faithful. But also as we think about the feet of men, not only can our feet be turned, not only can our feet be delivered, but also our feet can be refrained. Now we've talked about refraining in our tongue, refraining in our lips. We've even talked about, as Job would talk about in Job 31:1, making a covenant with our eyes, refraining our eyes from seeing some things. But also our feet can be refrained. Well, preacher, I don't know if I'm buying that. What do you base that on? I'll give you the passage. Psalm 119 and verse 101. I have refrained my feet. Now again, I told you it's personal responsibility. The psalmist did not say, my wife refrained my feet. Did he? I once had a fellow who was going to study with me. We had the study set up and he canceled the study. You know why? Because he said my wife wanted me to. Well, who's telling who? But nonetheless, the book says, Psalm 119:101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way. My wife didn't refrain them. My neighbor didn't refrain them. My kids didn't refrain them. I refrained them. Refrain them from what? Every evil way that I might keep thy word. Have you refrained your feet lately? There's a lot of places that as God's people we have no business going. Sometimes individuals don't learn that point. They've obeyed the gospel. They know that they are a Christian. They know they are a member of the one body, the New Testament church, the Church of Christ, and still they think they can go some places. Maybe some denominations. Now, I'm not talking about going there to teach them better. I'm talking about going and just not saying a word, just going along with what they're doing. Or some churches of Christ of which are not doing right. We need to understand we've got to refrain our feet from every evil way. If the Bible doesn't teach it, then I have no business walking it. You agree with me on that? That's simple. That's so easy to see that. If you misunderstand that, if I misunderstand that, someone's helped me to misunderstand it. In Proverbs 4:27, a host of other verses, Jeremiah 14:10. By the way, outlines are in the back and cover some things we're not talking about tonight. Again, Psalm 119 and then verse 11. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you don't know what God's word says, you'll never know what He expects of you. There's no way to know that. We're dependent upon God. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it lieth not in man that liveth to direct his own steps. Man that walketh to direct his own steps. We're dependent on God. We've got to see what the book says. And by the way, I want to encourage you to be in the habit of figuring out, finding out what the book says before you do it. Not after, but before you do it. That, I'm telling you that from experience, that will save you a lot of heartache. If you'll figure it out and know it ahead of time, before you say, well, I'll go ahead and do it, and then go and say, well, now let me see if that was right. Each one of us need to know whether it was right or not before we do it. Right? Refrain your feet from every evil way, that you can give your attention to the Word of God. But then the Bible talks about trampling feet. Feet that trample. This one's found in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Well, it's referred to as a Sermon on the Mount, or some may call it the Mountain Sermon. Call it however you want. I just know that the Lord was standing on an incline on a mount when He gave it. What's more important is what He said than what you refer to it as. But He's talking to the disciples about being a disciple. He's talking to them about their relationship before God, the relationship to God and the relationship to others. Their conduct before God and before others. And one of the things He said to them is found in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I do not believe that the Lord is literally talking about swine, pearls, and dogs. But I think He's making a point. In order for us to make application of that in the right way, then that means that there's some discerning that's going to have to be done. I'm going to have to discern one way or another who qualifies as being a dog. And I'm not talking, don't get me wrong, go out and start calling people dogs. That's not what I want you to see. But you've got to make application of the text. You've got to differentiate between what is precious and what's not. And between someone who is going to treat what is precious in the right way as opposed to those who will not treat it in the right way. You see that point? Lest they turn and rend you. Every individual is worthy of having the gospel of everlasting life preached to them. I believe that with all of my heart. Don't you? Every soul is worth hearing the message that will take them from earth to eternity with God when life is over. But also am of the persuasion that everyone deserves and has a right to hear it once before someone is entitled to hear it twice when they could care less about it. Do you see that point? There's some people who don't care about the truth. They never have and probably never will. And they'll let you know that. And all you can do is plant the good seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, Luke 8:11. And what they choose to do with it is up to them. And if they're not going to hear you and they're not going to obey you, guess what? Move on to the next person that will. Time is of the essence. The Lord said, we got to work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Whether you're talking about the latter years of life or not even being here. Now's the time to work. Trampling feet. The Lord commissioned the apostles to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, Matthew 28. To all nations, Matthew 28:19. To every creature, Mark 16:15. We've got to be busy about doing that. And make sure that we're spending our time. And we don't have the ability to read the hearts and minds of men like the Lord did. We're not heart readers. We're seed sowers. Right? But the point is that individuals are going to have to make the choice as to what they do with the Word. And they say, preacher, I don't want to hear that. Then move on. And I've often told individuals, give me one study. Give me four studies with you. I've got a fourth study I'd like to do, but just give me a study. And at the end of that study, if you say, preacher, I appreciate you, but I don't believe a word of it, I'll appreciate that and I'll go on. I won't hound you about it. I'll go on. You tell me that. And we'll keep on going. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn to rend you. But also we need to understand, as we think about the feet of men, what Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 6. He's given the whole armor of God, going through this armor. And one of the things he says relative to our study tonight is found in verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I want you to get the point about shod feet. Protected feet. Armored feet. But what with? The gospel of peace. The Bible often talks about the sword of the Spirit. It talks about that in this passage in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, that the word of God is sharper, quicker than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart, so forth. Having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. There's a number of applications you can make about that, but the fact of the gospel. My opinion won't save anyone. I need not preach it. Your opinion won't save anyone. You need not preach it. But the gospel will, Romans 1:16. The power of God unto salvation. But also it's referred to in a number of ways in the Bible, one of which is found here as the gospel of peace. We're not always going to be at peace with people around us. Not so long as Satan's at work. But it's a peace that transcends that, where we can be at peace with He who made us and go to heaven in the afterwhile. That's the one that we need to be at peace with. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." Not as the world gives you. He talks about feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One more point. We're at 1 Peter 3:15 as well. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope and fear that lies within. One more point. If I gave you the marker and I said, come to the board and write the last point on the board, what would you put? I want to share with you what Ethan shared with you a moment ago. And that is beautiful feet. I'm not talking about my literal feet in this, and whether they're pretty or not. One, that do you no good, and I suppose, two, that's my business. I think about, again, what Ethan read for us. When he talks about, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 13. All the religious world loves to latch onto that, don't they? That's what the Bible says. They don't use it in the right way, but is it true that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved? Absolutely, we believe every word of that. How then shall they call on Him? This one of those keep reading passages. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? You can't obey what you don't know. So the faith comes by hearing. He's going to make that point in verse 17. You've got to hear it. You've got to know it. You've got to be taught it. John 6, 44 and 45. That all that will come unto God must be taught. Of whom they've not heard. Now watch this. And how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer, a teacher, someone who will say what the message is? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now the religious world talks about it's some special anointing. The Bible doesn't talk about that in that way. Jesus was anointed. The Bible uses that in a number of ways, but not like the religious world uses it. How shall they preach except they've been sent? You know how gospel preachers have been sent today? You know how I know whether or not I've been sent? Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Go and preach the gospel. If you've got the ability and the opportunity, you've got the responsibility to do it by the authority of God. And others were sent in a specific sense, the apostles and others and so forth, and prophets of old. But how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. There it is referred to again as the gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. I appreciate men who will stand up and with boldness and conviction proclaim the Word of God. And we live in a time when the thinking of so many people is, well, that's just too strong. It's just too strong, and you need to taper it down now. Pull back. Not so. Not so. Preach the Word. We don't preach anything with the intent to offend anybody or to anger anybody. That's not our intent. But I'll tell you this, our intent is to get people to see the truth and go to heaven. But I will tell you that sometimes anger is a good thing. Sometimes it brings us to our senses to say, I need to go home and study about what that preacher said, and I'll prove him wrong. And guess what? A lot of people have tried to do that, and they've studied themselves right out of perhaps the church that they're in, or lifestyle they're in, or whatever the case may be. We want to share with you the gospel of peace and preach a message of glad tidings. Salvation in Christ and eternal life to come for those that will obey Him. What kind of feet do you have? Have you turned your feet to obey the gospel? Are you going to turn your feet this evening and walk out the door in an unsaved condition? Or are you going to say, I'm going to get up and my feet are going to walk me right to the front and I'm going to obey? We want you to do that. Just like our young sister did earlier in the week, last week. So thankful for her and her example. And you ought to do the same thing. And to do that. Well, how do I become a Christian? By doing what they did in New Testament times to do that. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That'll never change, will it? Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. And you recognize that. You want to do better. You want to be restored. Be in a right relationship with God and continue to serve Him. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Get your feet and walk to the front of the building. And obey the gospel. Come right now.